Steve Dale's Other World on WJN, and I'm honored to have a revolving door of candidates that have been saying, I'm running for mayor. Jamal Green is one of them. Welcome to WGN once again. I know you've been up here before.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Steve.
It's always beautiful. Well, this is the first time we've met in person. It's so nice to meet you in person.
Yes.
Here's the question I'm sure out of the box that you get from everybody. And by the way, friends, if you have a question, you can ask too. 312-981-7200. You can call. You can text. Why the heck do you want to do this?
Man, that's a good question, right? And they always say, why do you want to do this with your young life?
With any life. I mean,
with any life.
Really, this is a job that is a thankless job in a way.
It is.
For a young guy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it takes somebody that's willing to make the sacrifice to do us right. You know, we have sat through politicians who have only been in it for themselves or for the corporate interests to line their pockets up, et cetera. Now we need leadership right now. Not just in the city, but to inspire those around the state to step up and say, we need a new style of politics. We need to put people first. We need to move forward innovative policies and solutions to these problems so that our kids can want to stay here. Right now, people are leaving in droves. And at the end of the day, if we don't have real leadership at this time, my kids is not going to grow up in a city that is safe, that is welcoming, that is has a massive opportunities, a pipeline to the great career fields. And, you know, right now I'm making that sacrifice for them. You know, it's for the next generation.
Well, you said a lot there. Leaving in droves, I think people say that. But statistically, I don't think that's really happened yet anyway.
Yeah. Well, I disagree. I mean, I think
I'm just going by what the data says.
Well, the data shows that Illinois is, you know, at the top.
About Chicago.
But Chicago, too. But, I mean, people are leaving, okay? How do we get people to want to live here, right? That is the question. People are leaving due to crime, due to taxes. Businesses are leaving due to crime, due to taxes. How do we get families, businesses? I mean, you go to certain blocks, even kids that go off to college in Chicago, they don't come back, right? That's a problem. How do we get those kids who go off to college to not say, well, I'm not coming back home? You know, how do we get them to come home and say, no, I want to have my career here. I want to buy a home here. That's what we have to do. We need a new generation of taxpayers or else they're going to keep raising taxes because not enough people are moving into the neighborhoods.
Okay, so you said a whole lot of mixed stuff in there.
Yeah.
The part about people leaving or not coming back to Chicago isn't quite, again, I don't know. I don't ask everybody. I just read what the census people say.
Yeah.
And that's not completely.
And what does the census people say, Steve?
That's not true.
Okay.
But I do want to talk about some other things you talked about.
Yeah.
Way back, though, at the very beginning. How old are you?
27.
You would be the youngest mayor.
Ever.
Ever in this city, anyway.
Yep.
Did you ever think about, well, I don't know, I'll work at the airport, I'll direct airplanes coming in, or just something else?
You know, I'm a businessman, so I have several businesses, and, you know.
You've been a businessman
since I was a teenager. Yep.
Yeah.
Started my first company when I was 15 years old, and luckily I haven't been back to my mom's house since. So, you know, I was lucky enough to reach business success and invest in other businesses from that really make an impact on society, from solar to real estate and helping folks become homeowners. And I want to go back, Steve. When you look at the peak of Chicago many years ago, we're at, what, 2.6, 2.7 million. We had over 3.3 million at one point. And so, you know, when you look at years past, folks have left. We've been steady even at this number, right? Not too far down. But the point is that folks need to want to live here. And if we have a generation of Chicagoans that get older and die, you know, who's going to replace them? And we need more folks to look at Chicago as a welcoming city that I want to raise my family in, that I'm not trying to hit the lottery and move out of, and make this a great city for everyone. Because it's a great city, but it's not great for everyone. And that's the problem.
And that paragraph, I totally agree
with. Okay, all right. We're on page now.
Yeah, we are totally on. Let me see your nails. I'm asking that for a reason. I read during the pandemic you began
a nail salon.
Yes.
I did. Yeah, I actually, so it was actually
very nice.
We actually built a mobile nail salon.
What?
And during a pandemic, it's the first in the country. I bought an old RV, 26-foot RV. gutted it out and built a nail salon on wheels so that we can go to people's homes. We can go to condominiums, associations, groups, and do their nails where a few people can come on and get their nails done and go back out, because it's better and it's social distance and more intimate. And so that was one of my ideas that I invested in during the pandemic.
Okay, so I brought that up for a couple of reasons. It demonstrates creativity, and that and your previous answer demonstrate your ability to create small businesses.
Yeah, 100%.
Right now, if you have a small business in Chicago, I'd argue particularly in some neighborhoods, West Side, South Side, why would you ever, if you could even, if you can make it, at some point, why continue?
Exactly.
Because you're being taxed out, crimed out.
Yes.
Talk about that.
Yeah.
And how you'll change it.
Yeah, 100%. You're exactly right. You know, our businesses, our business community, and I've been really talking a lot to our business community about this, right? You have businesses who are literally like, I'll sell. If somebody will buy it, I'm out of here. Because the city hasn't been very business friendly as of late. You know, when you talk about licensing fees, zoning, permitting, you know, the time, the fees, you talk about crime and certain enforcement, you know, it's just so much that goes into trying to open and run a business on the, especially more on the South and West sides, and even parts of downtown, that it just, you know, makes business owners not want to invest here. That is going to change. Under my administration, we are pro-business. We're going to be very business-friendly as somebody who is who owns several small businesses. And I understand how important it is that our business community understand that they are the heart of the communities. Because when you look at the job opportunities in these neighborhoods, it's usually from those small businesses. When you talk about those young people who need opportunities or mentorship or need some revenue, if we put small businesses and thriving small businesses throughout the communities, you have more young people who learn skills, more young people who have an alternative to being on the streets. You have small businesses who are thriving and creating opportunities and caring about what's going on the block and watching what's going on the block. It is important that all small businesses are treated correctly by the city administration, and we're going to do that. And invest it in, and not taxed out of town, and fees being lowered, and it shouldn't take months to get a permit and go through all, you know, all of those things need to be changed, and it needs, and we need to remove the red tape.
Well, there's a lot of it, right?
Yeah.
You know, and safety is a huge issue for those businesses and everyone who lives in Chicago. Public transportation, safety on public transportation.
Huge.
I have some text I want to ask you about from listeners. 312-981-7200. You can call as well. We'll take a couple phone calls for mayoral candidate Jamal Green next. Right now, he is in the studio, Jamal Green, running for mayor. And my first question is a question that you have to be asked all the time is, why the heck would you want to do that? It seems like a no-win job.
Yeah.
And right now, it seems it's the worst time in my lifetime anyway.
It is.
You know, do you think people are disappointed with Lori Lightfoot?
I think people are just disappointed, you know, in politics in our state. I mean, look at the indictments that are coming down. You know, look
at. You can't be governor and not be in jail.
Right. And, you know, from, you know, the highest land, I mean, the highest powers that be in the state all the way to the city level. I mean, at every level, so much corruption. And then there's not a lot of tangible results for families, for business owners, for people in general. And at the end of the day, you know, this administration, we looked at for some hope. And I advised it for the first year, and I was very hopeful of it. And right
were
now, we just need.
I'm interrupting. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But you said you advised Mayor Lori Lightfoot.
Mm-hmm.
Were you able to work with Mayor Lori Lightfoot?
Well, I was able to advise. And so when you give advice, you know, it does not have to be taken. So,
true enough. However, the work. Politics is the art of compromise, right?
Yeah,
many have said that for
it is.
Decades and decades.
It is.
Has she been unable to do that?
Yeah. It's she's not the best collaborator. And, you know, at the
is
end
that
of
part
the day,
of the problem?
And it is. And at the end of the day, you know, I think this is just more about the type of leadership that Chicago needs and more not as much as it is about who she is. And I think the last couple of administrations have shown us the type of leader Chicago needs and the type of leader Chicago don't need. And so, you know, I'm not making my campaign about the current mayor and the current administration. People know, you know, how I feel. I've always spoke out about it for many years. Right now, we need to get people reengaged. When you talk about the voter turnout, look at this, 19.8% in the city at June 28th, you know, and not what, 30 to 35% the last municipal election when Lori ran. So you have the vast majority of the city who's like, I don't even want to participate. And that's a problem. We need people more engaged in the community and in politics because they need to, and that's the only way to empower them. How are we going to empower those communities to say, we need you to work together to progress it if they're not engaged?
I think, from what I read, the number one issue for Chicagoans is safety.
Public safety.
Which includes crime. Are you hearing the same?
Yeah, it is. Okay. It is number one.
So, all right. What do you do?
It's my number one priority. So we need to look at public safety in a new lens, okay? And I'm tired of consulting politicians who, every time we talk about public safety, they talk about police. I want to be clear, and I've been clear on this campaign. I am not talking about policing. That's not the first thing I'm going to talk about when I talk about public safety. It does not begin or end with police, and we cannot overwork police to get us out of this problem. Let's tackle the real root causes of what's going on. And we got to understand the historical context. And, you know, we can go, I can start as far back as the projects to segregation and how these communities have been impressed by tax dollars, by banks. And we need to go back to that and look at how we can actually change that. So that means increasing the home ownership rate, repopulating the neighborhood so that folks care more about their blocks. Folks are watching what's going on in their community. So I would move forward a single family mortgage bond that would I would use $1 billion of our bonding capacity at the city level each year to increase the home ownership rate at 10,000 homeowners each year. I would incentivize folks to take our vacant land and our vacant property and give them a tax freeze on it if it's developed within a year. We need mass development. Right. So then we got to talk about, like I talked about earlier, our small businesses. We need to remove the red tape and invest in all of the business corridors on the south and west side so that we can bring thriving business districts that's going to create jobs and create more opportunities there. So we got to rebuild the communities. And then most importantly, we have to invest in our young people. And that's one of my number one thing. So I presented a youth intervention department that will have priority over young people 25 and under. So young people who are arrested or drop out of school, we will have youth interventionists that are employees that go out and their job is to intervene in a young person's life and use the priority of city resources to do so. So if it's a young person that gets arrested for a nonviolent crime, we can mandate them to a mentor or an organization instead of just sending them back to jail so we can help get them on the right path. Counseling, some of them have lost their homes, housing. We need to make sure that every young person has a pathway to productivity. And so our youth intervention department will be tasked with doing that. And it's a wide range of other issues, but those are some of my
few. No, it sounds great. But the problems are right now they are being sent right back out because our state's attorney is more like a public defender in my perspective.
Okay.
That's my opinion, but I'm not alone there.
Yeah, I know you're not. You're
all
not.
Right.
Yep.
And is that enough? We still need police, and we still need to do what we need to do. And I'm not sure what that is, but what we're doing now is not working.
It's not working. And I'm glad you said that because people need to hear that. Secondly, I didn't say that we're going to do away.
As far as that,
it's not working because people need to understand that what we're doing and what we have been doing is not working. So then they can be open to what we do next. I never said that, you know, that means we do away with police. Obviously, police is a support system, but police need to play the role that they need to play in our community. So when we're talking about folks who have mental health problems or homelessness, police maybe should not be responding to those calls, right? We need unarmed social workers and folks who actually are tackling the actual problem, getting those folks into the right clinics, which is why I proposed healing houses in place of the old mental health clinics that they closed, so that we can actually tackle healing and mental health holistically. So we need to make sure that police are actually solving crime, addressing violent crime, and we need to be addressing the real issue. So they're a support system, and they should not be doing everything. And that's why the suicides in the police department are where they are. It's because we think overworking them is the way to go, and that's just not right.
No, it is not right. It is Mark on WGN. We have time for one call, and you're it, Mark. Welcome to the show.
Great show, guys. My question is, you holler at radio and TV, and some of these politicians say the stupidest things, and don't you think there's like a sympathetic vote or something like that? If, you know, they say stupid things and a personal attacks, I mean, makes the other person win, look good to the other public, and don't you think there's a theory about that, that sympathetic vote? I'm just wondering, because you hollered, and when Hillary said this plore, you hollered at radio. Pritzker won probably because of sympathetic vote. Trump says stupidest things on personal attacks. Isn't there? I'm just wondering if there's a sympathetic vote, such thing as a sympathetic vote towards voters.
I'm not sure exactly what you're asking, but Jamal, give it a go.
Yeah, well, you know, I think people right now are just ready for someone who they feel has the backbone to stand up and do what's right for the people. I mean, I just think that that's going to be, you know, how people vote, is when they look at those debates, they're not looking for another regular politician. They're not looking for another politician who's going to make all these promises. They want to know, who can I elect who's going to fight for the everyday working class people? And I think that's kind of where we are in this city.
But that's what Lori Lightfoot said when she ran. She said, I'm not a regular politician. You don't know me. You don't know my name.
And we see what happens.
And yeah, but you're saying the same thing. Yeah. So how do we know that a regular politician...
My track record is different.
Wait. Let me finish.
Yeah.
That a regular politician, I'm not sure what that means, but a regular politician, someone who's been in office before, wouldn't be more prepared than our past mayor,
right.
I mean our current mayor, perhaps has been.
Yeah. Well, my track record is different. And at the end of the day, we weren't saying the same things. She portrayed certain things that were similar, but her background was portrayed as the head of the police board, working under Daley, appointed by Rahm. So she was still looked at as a establishment tied candidate. Me, I'm not. I'm an outsider. I fought Chase Bank and made them give back $1 billion to South and West Side when they were in London to black and brown communities on the South and West Side. So, and I'm banned from every Chase in America because of it.
Really?
You know, I still am. So I have the backbone. So I have stood on the front lines for the people at all times. When small businesses were looted during the pandemic, I had the largest grant program in the city, raised $250,000. In 5 days, and it went out in a week. The city only gave out $230,000, and they raised $10 million. So, and every time there was a problem, I moved forward a solution and stood on behalf of the people and the businesses of this city. And that's not going to change when I become mayor.
You just said looted. As I recall, Lori Lightfoot wouldn't use that term for months and months and months.
Yeah, you know, it is what it is. I don't play her politics, and I wasn't advising. But at the end of the day, we know what happened to those businesses, and a lot of them had business expenses. And I sent out $3,000 to $5,000 to each one of those businesses within a week after.
Where did you get that money from?
We raised money, crowdfunded. We made calls to investors and folks who just care about the community, and we raised it within a week, and it went out within a week with no red tape. All they have to do is show us that they had damage and pictures, and we sent the check out.
We're running out of time here, so in 1 minute, sorry, CTU, school's about to start. What would you do different?
With teachers. Number one, I'm a product of public schools, and I think our teachers are vastly undervalued, and I'm sure if you've seen some data, you know that teaching is a career field that many folks are leaving. You know, we need to make sure that our teachers feel like they're valued, they have the resources that they need to be the best that they can be, and that they have the support and backing of this city. I'm a product of public schools. We have to do better to invest in all of them, and where we have a high quality education starting kindergarten as young as 3 years old all across this city. We need to make sure that our students and parents also have a voice. And we make these schools community centers throughout the day and on weekends after school where people can come together and have programs and bring the communities together. So
do we lack communities in our communities?
Yes, we lack villages and communities. Everybody's for themselves, and that needs to change. We have to bring everybody together.
Is that a Chicago thing, or is that happening all over the country?
Well, you know, I'm from Chicago, but I've seen it a lot here. I've also traveled to other places. I think a lot of it depends on the leadership and depends on, you know, the neighborhoods and things of that sort.
You're in office, first day in office. What's the first thing you do?
Well, first thing I do is...
Where's the men's room? Beside that.
First thing I do is I need to bring in an auditor to make sure we look at city's finances all the way and try to get rid of some waste. I want to tackle this property tax escalator that is tied to, you know, inflation and get rid of it. And actually, you know, look at how we're going to get our city finances in order and then start to move forward our agenda.
Pleasure to meet you.
Pleasure to meet you as well. Thank you so much for having me.
And I'm sure we'll be talking again.